I talk about living water today, that living water flowing. A lot of water talk in our text from the Old Testament that we had and in the New Testament as well. The Israelites didn't have to worry about a thing in the wilderness. They didn't have to worry about a thing because God provided all the water that they needed. And He gave them promises. They were to hope and trust in those promises. And it was quite literal for them that this water was provided for them. Absolutely amazing miracle. The Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. He says that when they were in the desert, they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. So if we were to take the Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading and put them together, what we get is we get a picture of God providing for all of our tangible needs, every need that we have, tangibly speaking, whether it's water. And now most of us, okay, how many of us this morning had to go down to a river to get water? I don't think any of us did, or down to a well or anything. Maybe, did your grandparents? I wonder if your grandparents had to do that. It's possible. In our house, we have a cistern that's in the back. They had city water. It's a really old house, but they had city water when it was built. Excuse me. And yet they had a cistern that they used to for laundry and for water in the garden and stuff. But, you know, most of us, for this water talk, it's a bit difficult for us to understand how it, you know, what's all meant by it. But in the Old Testament, for sure, God provided literally for them all of the needs that they had. And then for us, spiritually, God provides for us. And here's the point, because he gets to this in the reading, is it's about truly worshiping God. Truly worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and what that centers around, it is motivated by the love of God with gratitude for what God is doing in our lives. And true worship comes from that. It flows from that. There's a verse in your outlines. In that first section, it's the last verse in that first section. It says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, that cannot hold water." Well, the first thing is that Jeremiah is identifying that God is the giver of living water. It is God who provides the living water for us. He is our source. He is our strength. And then later on in the gospel, Jesus talks in the Gospel of John to his disciples. And what he shares with his disciples is that the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you in truth. And then he goes on to say in John chapter 14, verse 17, he says, the world doesn't recognize him because they're not looking for him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The later was at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and he inhabited, he went inside and he lived inside of God's people. That's where you and I are at. The Holy Spirit is living inside you. That living water that he's talking about is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. It is actually dwelling inside of you. He has taken up residence within you. That is amazing, most beautiful thing. That is the living water. Jeremiah saw that a long ways off. Jesus confirmed it with his disciples. Pentecost brought it as a reality to us. And Jesus Christ is the source. He is the victory. He is the giver of this. And you know, so what that means to us, since God, as Christians, God is living inside us, we don't want to, we should not, let us be concerned about where the Holy Spirit would be leading us. In our daily lives, let us be concerned about what God's will would be. He's taken up residence in you. It would not be wise to disregard God's righteousness. It would not be wise to not follow that. We don't want to do like the folks in the Old Testament reading, and that's to give in to the temptation to complain and moan and worry about our needs being met. See, the truth is that God fully knows all our needs. But I forget that. When we first went overseas, so this is a long time ago, Jill and I just had Rachel, she was this little baby. We lived in this house and we had a cistern. And our only source for water was this cistern. And the cistern leaked. So it didn't hold any water. It didn't hold enough water. And we had to collect water off the roof, and it went into a gutter and then went into the cistern. And we had water only certain times of the year. So I was worried about it all the time. And I actually talked to another friend of mine. We're trying to figure out, now if we expand the gutter system and do this, we'll collect more water and maybe it will last. You know, and what made me think about it is I probably never stopped or didn't stop often enough to actually talk to God about it first. I didn't ask Him. I didn't often think that, God, You put us in this house. We didn't really have any choice as to where we were going to go, and we ended up in that place. You knew ahead of time that we would not have water. We would have this problem with the cistern. You know, we never ran out of water. But yet I had plans in my mind. Well, I can go truck water in from here. I can do this. And I had figured it all out. You know, and I worry and I stress about it like that, but did I give it to God? And, you know, you might not have to hold out for water. You might not have to go down there and get water every day like this woman at the well had to do. Can you imagine how much water do you use every day? Have you ever calculated how many gallons of water that you use? What if you didn't have city water? And you had to walk down to a river and you had to bring all that up? I mean, how much of your day would be spent just getting these basic essentials of life, right? But, you know, we don't have to worry about that. That's good. But what needs are worrisome in your life? What sin bubbles up and trips you up? I saw a TV program. It was, this was a few months back. And somebody actually at Bible class asked me for the full name of it. So I'll share the full name of it with you. It was Worst Drivers in Canada. And we saw, well, we were really bored a number of months ago. So we watched this program. And one of the drivers in it was a great guy, this young guy. And when he was driving, he would only look as far as the hood of his car. So when he drove, he only saw up to the very, you know, front of his car. And so as a result, he wasn't seeing anything that was in front of him. So he was driving through red lights. He was driving through stop signs. He was almost hitting pedestrians on the road. And it was very dangerous. So they worked with him and they, you know, began to teach him. And he was a real hazard, but he improved marvelously and was able then to see beyond the immediate so that he was able to be a better driver. Now, spiritually speaking, we have to be able to do the same thing. As you're plowing through your life and as you're dealing with issues and stresses and sins and things that will trip you up, we have to look beyond. Look at where your actions are going to take you. What fruit are they going to bear in your life, in the lives of other people? Get a different vision. That's where the Holy Spirit wants to open our eyes. He wants us to be able to see. You see, what the Old Testament reading, what the New Testament reading is teaching us is that it is more than just our spiritual refreshment. It involves also our everyday lives, everything that is involved in our lives, because God is the source of everything for us. He is the source of truth, of morality, of wisdom, of material blessings, of everything. And Jesus is telling this woman at the well that He is the source of everything that she needs. And he's encouraging her. He's saying that God is looking. Let me share this one verse. It's a beautiful verse, 4:23. He says, "But the time is coming, indeed is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." And then he goes on to say, the Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way. The first thing that Jesus said about worship is that it is God initiated. God is seeking you out. He's looking for you. He's hungry to have a relationship with you. In all your needs, in all your problems, in all your issues that you face, He is desiring, He is waiting, He is seeking you out. You do not have to work, you do not have to be perfect, you do not have to be, you know, all the things that we need to do in order to please God, because He is waiting for you. He wants to be with you, He wants to share with you, He wants to help you. People don't have to seek about God and beg and plead with Him. The Father is looking for people that have an open heart, a desire to want His living water to flow in their lives. It's meant to supply our needs. And there is not a need in this world that God cannot meet. It's not just about water. It's bigger than that. The lady went back to water. She thought it was the material need, so she talked about that. Jesus immediately changes the subject and He says, what about another need in your life, relationships? That's miserably failed for you. God can come into that. He can change it. He can help it. Have you given God your relationships? Have you given God your finances? Have you given God every aspect of your life? See, water is meant to flow. It's meant to flow in you. That's what He's talking about, and He moved the subject to that so that she could see that. It's more than a coincidence where this meeting took place. It's more than a coincidence that Jesus went out of His way to go through Samaria to Jacob's well. This well was dug thousands of years before this. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. And Abraham originally received the promises of God, that God would give them this land, that God would bring a Messiah, that God would be faithful to His people. This is a sign of God's amazing faithfulness, that He's able to keep His promises, that His promises are sure. For example, if you build your relationships on the promise of God, if you build your life on doing what is right, and you say, Lord, I want to do this. This is good. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to follow. And you say that because this is good and you believe that. That is building yourself on a firm foundation. It's God's strong promises. It's the living water that will sustain you. This well was symbolic to them of how faithful God is. And here the living incarnation of God's faithfulness is standing by this well. And every day that this woman came out to get water, she was reminded of how incredible God's word is, how incredible God's promises are. And here she has this encounter. It's like, you're it. You're Him. You're the one that spoke to Abraham. You're the one that inspired Jacob. She was just profoundly moved by the whole thing. It was amazing. And you know, the well is, by the way, the well is still here today. It's 100 feet deep and it's 8 feet wide. And it's a living testimony of God's amazing grace, amazing faithfulness of how we can trust in Him, how we can build our lives on Him. And this living water is absolutely 100% meant to flow in you and in every aspect of your lives. Let's not block it off to anything. It's amazing what it can do. You see, as the reading from Jeremiah said, we're cracked cisterns. We don't hold water. We need to get filled up. We need to get filled up with the real thing. We need that to bless us. The word in Greek in this verse from our text, verse 14, where it says, it becomes a fresh bubbling spring that continues to flow. The word in Greek is continuous, constant flow. That means it can flow into every aspect of your life. If there's an area that's dry, if there's an area that is not growing, that seems to be dying, I would encourage you to not give up hope, please. Because God sees and God knows and He wants to help you. He really does. He's able to help you. That was His promise to this lady, and that lady was so absolutely amazed by it, which is the last point that I wanted to share with you, because it's really what water is supposed to do. It's supposed to flow. You can't see it in the text, but she runs back into the village, and she is so ecstatic with everything that happened. She tells the whole village comes to Christ, because of her openness. By the way, in Luke and in Matthew, there's another story around the same time of their journey where they went into a Samaritan village. They didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, and they just moved on. This one is very different because of the openness of this lady wanting this living water. She had a curiosity. Do we have a curiosity? What Jesus is really saying is, are you thirsty? Be thirsty. You know, and it's supposed to flow. It's supposed to flow. It's a continuous flow. There's a spring in Florida that we used to like to go to years ago when we lived there. There's a spring north of Orlando. If you're ever there, it's a great place to go. It's called Wekiwa, Wekiwa Springs. And it is a beautiful place on a hot, muggy, miserable day. You can go to this spring and it bubbles up out of the ground and it flows and it's beautiful. And you know, where the spring is there's all these trees and shade and wonderful, you know, environment that you can just relax. But that spring was not meant to stay there. And it's a very important point. Because we're missing the power and point of the gospel if we don't get this. The spring water is not meant to stay there. It's meant to flow. And in that case, you have 45 million gallons of water that flow out every day. Continuously. And it flows. It's meant to flow. You are meant to flow. Whose life are you flowing into? God wants the living water to flow from you. Who are you praying for? Who are you concerned about? Is it a child? Is it a parent? Is it a spouse? Is it a relationship? God wants this to flow from you. He wants you to have a project. He wants you to have something that you're doing where this outflowing is flowing from you. And just like the woman in Samaria, that it was actually an example. It was coming from her into the village and it just blessed the people. This is how God's living water works. It is an amazing gift that we have through Jesus Christ. He is the source. He is the gift. And He brings this into your life that it would flow and that it would grow. And that all of us, every last one of us, we all need an opportunity that we can share it. That it can come from us. And that is how the gospel spreads. That's how the news of Jesus Christ gets out. That was His vision. That was Jesus' purpose. And that's what this story is an example of. So stop and think about that. I know first you need to be filled up. You need to be strengthened. Be strengthened. Be filled up. But then give some thought in your life. Now, where has God strategically placed you? In your workplace. That's for a reason. In your family. Wherever it may be. But have your eyes open to the possibility of what the Savior would be saying. Let that flow out from you. And it's a beautiful thing that we see because it waters and it strengthens and it causes things to grow. It causes things to grow in you. It causes things to grow in the world around you. Living water, we need that. Let's drink that in. He's saying, are you thirsty? Let's be thirsty. Let's be thirsty. May God bless us and keep us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.